these inflammatory oils, these vegetable oils, are in so many different products. They're in your coffee creamer. They're in all kinds of marinades and different sauces and dressings. They're in a lot of different chips. Even the ones I could go through Whole Foods and pick out 70% right off the bat that all have sunflower and safflower oil. And it's a highly refined version of it. And these are seed oils. They're high in omega-6s. So there are so many packaged foods. I would be willing to bet, and I even see this on the hot bar at Whole Foods. If you look at the ingredient labels, you'll see it'll say, you know, corn oil and, you know, or canola oil. So they're cooking all these prepared foods. Granted, maybe it's organic sweet potatoes, but if they're being cooked in canola oil made into little sweet potato fries, you're eating little sticks of cancer.
Hey, Dr. Axe here. I wanted to let you know that Jordan Rubin and I just created the most powerful probiotic supplement on the planet. It's called Probiotic Trinity by Ancient Nutrition. It's a 4-in-1 blend of not only probiotics, but also prebiotics, postbiotics, and parabiotics. What we're learning through the research now is probiotics are so much more powerful when you add these other factors like postbiotics to the formula. This product is a game changer for digestive health. When I read the results from people saying that they had taken probiotics in the past, but now when they started taking this unique formula, they were noticing breakthroughs in their digestion and even immune health. And I knew that adding in those critical postbiotics would transform their gut health. If you want to transform your digestive health, click the link in the show notes or run over to ancientnutrition.com, search for this game-changing product called Probiotic Trinity, then enter the code DRAX24 to get 24% off your next order for the next few days only. I believe this is the game-changing probiotic product your gut and body have been waiting for.
Welcome back to the Ancient Health Podcast, where we educate you on real health solutions that will help transform the way you live, feel, and overcome disease naturally. I'm your host, Courtney Bursage, along with Dr. Josh Axe and Dr. Chris Motley. We're so happy you've joined us. Let's dive into today's episode. Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to the Ancient Health Podcast, and thanks for joining me on another mini episode. Today, we are talking about seed oils. You may have heard some of the chatter about kind of how demonized seed oils have become in recent times, and it's all over natural health platforms. You know, it's really made kind of a splash in terms of people being able to understand how and why it's affecting their bodies. So this conversation is going to bring you up to speed on where seed oils originated. I think it's really helpful in providing context around really the evolution of our food supply, this industrialized world that we live in, because I think that what we're seeing as a byproduct of our health is really a reflection of where we've cut corners and how some of these things were brought into the food supply. Once you can understand that and you can correlate the symptoms and the disease association with this industrialization of our food and farming, it really starts to make a lot of sense why we're seeing so many cases of chronic disease and cancer. I mean, look at cancer. You go back even 100 years ago, people weren't dealing with the issues that we have now. The metabolic diseases and cancer rates are so high, and we're even seeing them in really young populations. And that to me is incredibly concerning. So this is an interesting conversation. When I was doing some research on it, I was actually blown away at what I was able to find out. And so we're going to go through the history of this, and it dates all the way back to the 1800s. This is before electricity. It was before a lot of modern conveniences that we have today. But seed oils were really birthed out of something that just kind of fell in the laps of these inventors. And you'll see Procter and Gamble were really the first ones to leverage seed oils. And what they found is that this is kind of the cotton industry, right? When cotton was really booming, and this was the late 1800s. But what they realized is they were throwing away all of these cotton seeds. And cotton seeds are, you know, they're hard, they're black. If you think about it, right, seed oils, sometimes we confuse seed oils with fruit oils like olive oil or avocado oil, but seed oils come from hard seeds. They come from things like corn and soybeans and cottonseed. Just picture those seeds. They don't seem oily, right? They're really hard. It's hard to imagine that anything liquid in substance can come out of them because they seem like little hard substances. So what happened is, you know, cotton's booming. We've got this
massive waste product of cotton seeds. So Procter & Gamble, Procter was someone that was in the business of making candles, and Gamble was in the business of making soaps. They came together, they were brother-in-laws. They came together and said, what are we going to do with all these cotton seeds? Like, there's this resource that's going to waste. And about this time is when they were starting to create steamrollers. And so these massive pieces of metal were actually crushing things. And they found that if they crushed and rolled out these cotton seeds, they were able to extract an oil from them. Now, initially, this was kind of a unusable substance because it was black and tarry and very toxic and rancid, and it smelled bad. So there really didn't seem to be a big purpose. But what they started to find was that now we can actually use this oil to burn lamps, and they could use it for fuel. So this is actually the same machinery that they were using to extract oil from cotton seeds is what they were using to produce petroleum. So this is industrialized equipment. As things are starting to evolve over time, they started to realize, hey, we have a use for cotton seeds. Now, fast forward a little bit more, we're getting into the 1900s, and now some of this cottonseed oil, we've got some refined machinery that can start to heat it. And what they found is if they heated it five times to extreme temperatures, they could start to purify some of the impurities and the things that were undesirable. So the odor and the color, they bleached it. So instead of it being this black tarry substance and oily substance, it's now bleached. It's been heated multiple times. Then they started adding some antioxidants into it so that it was more stable. So now you've got a clear liquid oil. About this time, partial hydrogenation was discovered, and this could actually take now this altered, denatured form of an oil and put it into kind of a creamy, whipped, buttery texture. And this is where Crisco was birthed. So Crisco actually stands for crystallized cottonseed oil. So that is where it originated. And Crisco now all of a sudden enters the scene. And this was really the first product where vegetable oils were now utilized and recognized amongst consumers. Procter & Gamble were like, this is great. We now have a substance that's very cheap to make. We can make it in large quantities, and we can start replacing things that are more expensive, like animal fats. Because things like tallow and butter, they're expensive. And it's much harder to scale something like that than it is something that you can have done in an industrialized warehouse where you've got machinery that can crush, press, heat, and then strip out, bleach, and alter this substance. You can control it a little bit more and you can produce a lot more. So this is in an age where all of this technology was really starting to ramp up how we live and really change the way that people thought about their lives. So Crisco enters the scene, and now we start to see in the early 1900s, this massive push towards, and kind of a marketing campaign really, towards incorporating vegetable oils. Now I want to mention this because I think it's important. But vegetable oil sounds like it would be healthy. Like, vegetables are healthy, so vegetable oil should be healthy. But make no mistake, vegetable oil is not seed oils. Now, I want to point something out because I think it is interesting how vegetable oil is brought on the scene. Vegetable oil, in a lot of ways, is nothing like what it sounds, because there's no vegetable substance to it. It sounds healthy because we associate vegetables as being something that's a positive for our body, but the seed oils are what make up vegetable oils. And seed oils and vegetables are completely different. Seed oils, we know, are very pro-inflammatory. So there was a bit of a marketing campaign in terms of the way that it was pitched, because vegetable oil sounds like something that would be healthy for you. Most people would associate vegetables as being a part of a healthy diet. However, vegetables and seed oils are two totally different things. And vegetable oil is composed of all seed oils. There are no vegetables in it. So make no mistake, there is a massive discrepancy between what you're getting and what you think you're getting. So if you think vegetable oil is something that's healthy, it's very inflammatory. It's very processed. And now we have the studies to show this. And when trans fats kind of came on the scene, there was a number of conversations and articles in scientific journals that now say, you know, we know trans fats, and that's just a byproduct of partially hydrogenating so many of these oils. But that really was where all of this processing started. We took something that was discarded initially, and then these inventors figured out a way to take a waste product and then put it into the food supply. I actually want to read you something because I thought this was so interesting. Now, there was a magazine called Popular Science, and this was a long time ago, but they published something that I think really gives you a good picture. And it says, what was garbage in 1860 became fertilizer in 1870, cattle feed in 1880, and table food and many other things by 1890. So before even the 1900s, we started to see something that was complete waste, now something that was being consumed by people. And here's what's interesting about seed oils. We know that they're inflammatory, right? They're really high in omega-6. Omega-6 and omega-3s are fatty acids. They're polyunsaturated fats. And what we found is that the omega-6 fatty acids are pro-inflammatory. They do cause problems. They do create inflammation in the body, which can create disease. The omega-3s are what you find in animal products. Those are the ones that you want to focus on. Our ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s is way lopsided right now. Chronic inflammation could be one of the leading drivers of the most serious modern diseases. So it's not just heart disease, it's metabolic syndrome, it's diabetes, it's arthritis, it's Alzheimer's and other brain-related conditions, and many types of cancer. So it's important to realize that something that has entered our food supply just in the last 100 years has had a massive impact on what we're seeing today. Because a lot of the conditions, now granted, there are a lot of other things like EMFs and technology and things like that that didn't exist, but seed oils are everywhere. They are in so many packaged foods, processed foods, and you don't even realize it. Because if you think about it, you're not taking a piece of toast or a paleo waffle out and putting Crisco on it, you know, or putting rapeseed oil. You know, you're putting butter or coconut oil, hopefully, or something like that. But here's the sneaky thing. These inflammatory oils, these vegetable oils, are in so many different products. They're in your coffee creamer. They're in all kinds of marinades and different sauces and dressings. They're in a lot of different chips, even the ones I could go through Whole Foods and pick out 70% right off the bat that all have sunflower and safflower oil. And it's a highly refined version of it. And these are seed oils. They're high in omega-6s. So there are so many packaged foods. I would be willing to bet, and I even see this on the hot bar at Whole Foods. If you look at the ingredient labels, you'll see it'll say, you know, corn oil and, you know, or canola oil. So they're cooking all these prepared foods. Granted, maybe it's organic sweet potatoes, but if they're being cooked in canola oil made into little sweet potato fries, you're eating little sticks of cancer. So that is really what we're doing here. And the problem is we don't think about that. And if you are going out to eat, here's the really sad thing. If you go out to eat, you are pretty much guaranteed to be getting seed oils. Every single restaurant started trading in by the late 1900s before you know, we got into the early 2000s. I mean, we were completely shifted over into vegetable oils. So even McDonald's, they used to use beef tallow, but that no longer. I mean, that was decades and decades ago that they switched over because vegetable oils are way cheaper. So these restaurants realize, hey, we can buy giant vats of oils and cook everything in. And then think about it, you're refrying it. So you're heating it again. It's been heated and denatured and stripped down and oxidized, which creates cellular damage. And then we're taking that and reheating it and cooking your food in it. So it's really, really sneaky because even if you think, well, I don't buy vegetable oil, I'm not buying Crisco. If you eat out, you're getting plenty of seed oils. I actually want to read this statistic to you. Just to define what some of these seed oils are, we see sunflower and safflower oil. Corn or canola oil is definitely one of the most popular ones. And then you see soybean oil, which is very, very popular. And then you've got other ones like grapeseed, rapeseed, and cottonseed oil. All of them, though, have the high level of omega-6s. So this is the statistic I want to share with you, because I think this will give you some incredible perspective as to how much it's infiltrated our food supply. The average person in the United States now is getting 24 pounds of soybean oil in their diet a year. 24 pounds of soybean oil. And the other thing that I found out is that seed oils, when you have an exposure or you consume seed oils, the aftermath and effects of its damaging nature lasts up to 2 years after consuming it. That is a really long time. 2 years is a long time. So you can see that just constantly consuming this over and over and over again, how it can very quickly have effects on your health. So you're never just going to die after eating one time. You're out eating, you know, French fries that are deep fried in canola oil. But it's having that over and over again, and then having it in so many different foods, that overconsumption adds up really quick and has extremely damaging impacts on your health.
Are you ready to experience a quantum leap in your well-being? Introducing Quantum Upgrade, the ultimate solution for tapping into the healing power of quantum energy. This research-backed service harmonizes your energy, balances your body, and neutralizes harmful EMF frequencies. Easily activate and control from your phone or computer, customizing your experience with different levels, powerful boosters, and frequencies like inner peace or Olympic performance. And it works worldwide. It sounds wild, but it works. Tested rigorously by independent institutes and doctors, Quantum Upgrade shows positive results, improving blood cells and reversing stage 1 and 2 blood clotting in placebo-controlled double-blind studies. But that's not all. Recent research has also revealed a 20 to 29% boost in ATP production, a total game changer for enhancing your body's overall energy levels. Now guys, to experience this for yourself, we're offering a free 15-day trial with code ANCIENT at quantumupgrade.io. Don't miss out on the quantum revolution. Quantum Upgrade, bringing high consciousness energy to transform your life.
Another statistic shows that the amount of omega-6 fatty acids found in body fat stores has increased by more than 200% in the last 50 years. That's threefold. Threefold in the last 50 years. So if you look at a graph too, so this is what's really interesting, right? Because these statistics are pretty wild. But what you can see, if you start to track some of the diseases that I had mentioned earlier, you start to track the progression of them at the same time and the same span of years that we see the increase in these seed oils in our diet, as they've been incorporated into so many different brands and food processing, you start to see a really, really strong correlation. You know, these two lines both go up and to the right, and they are side by side, meaning the more seed oils that we have in our diet, the higher the risk of disease. There's a lot of studies that will break those down into more specific diseases as it relates to inflammatory markers. The bottom line is, the more we consume these oils, the more disease that we're seeing show up in people's lives. So if we want to stay away from seed oils, here's what I would recommend. And I always like to provide a solution, because I feel like pointing out the problem and giving you a little history lesson on it is great. But if you don't know what to do with it, or you don't feel like there's a win for you in the end, then it's kind of just depressing news. There's enough depressing news out there, so I want to give you some solutions. And this is really what I try to, the mindset that I have, because you can't avoid everything, right? But this is one of the biggest drivers of disease. In fact, I actually heard Sally Fallon have a conversation. This is what the Weston A. Price organization, and they've done a lot of studies on this, but they've also shared a lot about how healthy animal products are. And so I think that's really where you start, is eliminating the seed oils where you can, right? Eating at home is the best way. And I know I love to eat out. I love to have a meal that's out. But what I try to do when I eat out is I do a couple things. One, I think about the protein that I'm having. I try and get a leaner cut of meat, because most of the time you're not getting grass-fed meat when you're going out. In fact, the animals that you're getting, unless you're going to like a specific restaurant that sources locally and they've got really high quality products, they're just getting conventionally raised animals that are eating corn. They're eating a high omega-6 diet, which also then shows up in that animal, right? Because the animal's not as healthy. Plus, they're usually in lots. They're all grain fed. They're just very fatty, very unhealthy animals. And they have a higher level of stress, because their quality of life is that they're pinned up in a dirt lot, and they're not free grazing. They're not getting a healthy diet, and they're oftentimes very stressed. And so that shows up in the animal meat. I mean, there's no question about that. I've gotten a lot of pushback from people saying, it doesn't matter. And, you know, your breast milk is the same no matter what you eat. Like, no, that doesn't make any sense. If you put a bunch of garbage in, you get garbage out. That, to me, is not a difficult scientific situation. You can't put garbage in and get, you know, perfection and something pure out of it. So what I recommend is, when you go out, I would get a leaner cut of meat, because toxins are stored in fat, and you're getting a fatty animal that's likely been fed a bunch of grain with GMOs and omega-6 and corn and all of those different things. So get a leaner cut of meat. Get the grass-fed, grass-finished stuff at home. If you can get pasture-raised, you know, all the different things, then cook that stuff at home. Cook it in butter, cook it in tallow, but stick with leaner cuts of meat when you're out. Also, just ask, say, what are you cooking? You know, they're likely going to say, I don't know. And then they'll go check and they'll say, oh, it's vegetable oil. I always just ask, hey, do you have butter? Because most places have butter. And Granted, it's probably not the best butter, but it's still butter, and that is far and above greater than and better than vegetable oil. So you can just ask, hey, do you mind cooking my steak or, you know, my piece of fish on butter instead of vegetable oil? You can just be the complicated order just like me. Don't worry about it. I'm out there doing it. If enough people probably requested things like that, restaurants might realize it's a giant pain. We need to get rid of it. But that's probably a long time coming. But that's just a strategy. Just ask them. And then most restaurants have butter. So you can ask for your food to be prepared. Lean cuts of meat, prepared in butter always. Now, the other thing you can do if you're eating out is increase your antioxidants. So some of my favorites are vitamin E oil. Now, this is a fat-soluble vitamin, so you're going to want to take it with a meal. I have great little gel caps of vitamin E, but it is a really powerful antioxidant, and I love using that. I actually use vitamin E on a daily basis. Even though I'm really, really careful about where I eat, I do believe that there are seed oils in so many different things, even healthy, you know, protein bars and things like that. And you know what? Like sometimes I do consume them. So reducing the exposure and then buffering your body with antioxidants, I think, is the greatest strategy. So vitamin E oil is really good. And then vitamin C, obviously, is a great antioxidant. So that's a water-soluble vitamin. I generally try and take that on an empty stomach with a lot of water, or just take it in between meals with water, and then take your fat-soluble vitamins with a meal. So those are two strategies that I find to be helpful if you're eating out. The other thing would be just eat at home a lot more, because you can control what you're buying and control how you're preparing it. The snack foods, you know, all of our kids love all the snack foods. They are loaded with seed oils. Even the Annie's brands and all the organic stuff. I mean, if you look at it, they're all using sunflower and safflower oil. And those are not any better. I mean, they're a little bit less than like a corn oil in terms of its content of omega-6 fatty acids, but it's still a polyunsaturated fat that is really high in the omega-6s that we know are inflammatory. So try and do your best to keep your kids on a whole foods diet and away from the processed foods as much as possible. Now, the other thing would be to know what kinds of fats to be using and incorporating. And I mentioned earlier, animal fats are great. So things like grass-fed butter or ghee, which is a clarified butter, beef tallow, duck fat is amazing. If you've never made your own duck fat French fries, you need to go out and do that right now, because it is so good. And you can find these things at most local grocery stores that are, you know, more natural minded, or even a Whole Foods will have it. I'm trying to think of the brand. Maybe it's called Epic, and they have a duck fat. They've got different forms of tallow, but those are really, really good, and they really add a lot in terms of flavor. So if you get your own potatoes and, you know, you get whatever it is that you're cooking, if it's a cut of meat, cooking in those oils can be so much better. In fact, the butter and the tallows have a really high tolerance for heat, so those can be used very safely. Things like an olive oil, I always love just using olive oil. I mean, I will cook with it sometimes, but I love using it to dress salads with or create my own marinades and sauces. So getting a high quality, pure olive oil is always a kitchen staple, I feel like, for most people. And then obviously coconut oil can be really good. If you don't have any issues or intolerances to coconut oil, that's a great one to add in as well. And it also adds a little bit of a sweet flavor. So as long as you don't mind that, you know, that adds a lot of value. My kids love sweet potato fries that have been cooked in a little bit of coconut oil. I actually roast sweet potatoes all the time, and I put cinnamon and I do Ceylon cinnamon and coconut oil, and then I roast them like these little tiny, you know, I chop them all up, peel them and chop them all up, and they're so good. Good source of a root vegetable, carbohydrate, and then you're getting the fat, and then the cinnamon is there really to help with that blood sugar spike and blunting a little bit more of that insulin. So I think that these are great strategies and tools. Know that the seed oil market is in everything. It's in healthy foods. It's in really processed foods that you know are going to be bad. They're in a lot of the drinks, you know, that are, you know, whether they're creamers or milks, things like that. They're adding them into so many things. So be aware of that. Make sure you're checking your labels. Add in some antioxidants, even things like glutathione or N-acetylcysteine, which is a great precursor. Vitamin C, vitamin E oil, those are all super helpful in helping your body protect itself against oxidative and cellular damage. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It's always fun learning a little bit. I had no idea about the whole Crisco thing and the cotton seeds, but it makes a lot of sense. And when you start to put some of these things together and you're more educated on it, I think that it gives you a mindset where you know you have to be advocating for yourself, because the way that our world works is really in benefit of the bottom line. you know, always for major organizations. We know big food, big pharma, all of that. So just being a conscious consumer, being an informed and educated consumer can go a really long way for you. So stay away from those seed oils. Know that they do correlate to health outcomes, poor health outcomes, and help your family stay resilient by making the best choices. I hope you guys are having a great week wherever this podcast finds you. Make sure you like and subscribe. Drop us some DMs. Let us know the topics. I actually love knowing what you guys are interested in learning about. So we want to talk about things that are relevant to you. If you have ideas, DM the Health Institute, DM me at Organic Blondie or Dr. Motley. We love helping educate our audience. I love learning this stuff. It gives me a great reason to do some research on things that I know about, but maybe don't know all of the different pieces. So in sharing it with you, I've learned a little bit myself, but I hope this finds you well, and I will see you on the next episode.
Hey, Dr. Axe here. I want to say thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to like and subscribe to the show so you don't miss a thing. Also, if you're in search of more natural health content, you can follow us at Health Institute on Instagram or subscribe to our newsletter using the link in the show notes below. Hey, thanks a lot and have a blessed week.